Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Rice from Crime Talk. And on the docket today, first, we're going to give you a brief update on the Cheryl Lynn Cadle interview that we did last week. Second, let's talk about the trial going on right now regarding the assassination of a former Florida State University law professor, Dan Markle. And third, the judge issues an order saying no cameras in the courtroom for Patrick Frazee's trial starting in 2 weeks. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. First, thank you for subscribing and watching. If you do like the channel and you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Hit that little like button and always leave us a comment. First on the docket, we had an interview last week, Cheryl Lynn Cadle. She is the woman who did the book Letters from Chris, and those letters are supposedly from Chris Watts, during his time in prison after he was sentenced and after he pled guilty. And her book, and like I said in the introduction of that video and that interview, I was pleasantly surprised. I expected someone to be making complete and utter excuses for Chris Watts and saying that he had found God and that he was some sort absolved of any wrong that he may have done. That was not the case. I was pleasantly surprised because it simply said, here are the letters. Readers, you take them for what you want them to be. Whether you believe it's the written word, this is the truth, or you don't believe a word it says. Regardless, as I said, she is one of the few people, other than the attorneys, that have spoken to Chris Watts about this case. I think it's worth adding just a few more pieces of information there to figure out what makes this guy tick and why he did what he did. And I still don't think the guy's sorry. But I would ask Cheryl Lynn Cadle or anyone out there who has access to Chris Watts or any sort of influence, because he doesn't respond to my letters, say, hey, why don't you do an interview with Scott Reich? And we would also throw that out there for Nicole Kessinger. And everybody thinks that I am her attorney at one point. No, not the case. But I believe that I would provide a fair opportunity and fair and yet tough questioning for each party. And let's get to the truth. So next on the docket, let's talk about the case regarding the death of Dan Markle. Now, Dan Markle was a professor at Florida State University. He had gone through a divorce. His ex-wife, Wendy Adelson, let's say they had a bitter divorce. There were children involved, custody issues, money issues. And so what makes this case really disturbing is that on July 18th of 2014, Dan Markle was returning home and someone was in his driveway that he did not know. Person jumps out of a car and ultimately executes Dan Markle. The matter goes unsolved. Police ultimately look at the ex-wife, Wendy Adelson, who has never been charged to date, nor have any of her family members. But who has been charged? We have a Luis Rivera, who ultimately, while in prison on another matter, Luis Rivera says that he was simply the driver in the car and was asked to come up from Sigfredo Luis Garcia, and that Mr. Garcia is, in fact, the one who actually killed Dan Markle in the parking lot. So you think, why would two random guys want to come up from South Florida up to Tallahassee and ultimately kill Mr. Markle? Well, the police had that same question as well. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And the police didn't have any leads at first. They thought, well, maybe this guy was giving out bad grades. There must have been disgruntled employees. They talked to the ex-wife, and she says, wow, I hated him, but I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to him. And then we have the ex-boyfriend of Wendy Adelson, a guy by the name of Jeffrey LaCarce. And he says, hey, I don't know much about anything, but if I were you, I'd probably want to talk to the Adelson family because they really hate you. Okay. So during some police investigation, so the police continue to do some investigation, and they look into Luis Rivera in this case, and they look at toll records, basically phone numbers to see phones coming in and out. And they came from a rental car agency, and they showed an agreement by the name of Luis Rivera, and he listed his cell phone, and they were quickly able to confirm Rivera's identity. And Mr. Rivera has a criminal history, and he had ties to the Latin Kings street gang. A second phone number also came back to the word brother written beside it on a number, and that was a cell phone number tracked back to Mr. Garcia. And Garcia is a childhood friend of Rivera who also has a criminal record. Mr. Garcia also has children with one of the defendants in this particular trial that we were bringing you today, and that's Katie Magbuna. And I'm probably mispronouncing that. I probably heard it a thousand times, but I'm still getting it wrong. Magbuna. And coincidentally, she just happened to work for the Adelsons in their family law in their family dental practice down in Miami. And she was receiving paychecks from them quite frequently. So the police don't have a whole lot going on until Mr. Luis Rivera is in custody and they cut him a deal. He agrees to testify against Garcia and Magbuna. And that's for the trial that we are at right now. The jury's currently deliberating. Now, the people that have never been charged are Miss Adelson or her family in any way, even though of the money link. They just have not had enough evidence to reach probable cause to get that conviction. And it would seem as though unless Mr. Garcia or Miss Magbuna were going to roll on them, that they probably would not. And I'm not saying that they have information. Who knows why somebody ultimately did this, but it certainly would give them motive to do that. So hope you maybe want to hit the link below to the trial, closing statements, laid everything out, shows the argument that they have, jury's deliberating. Let me know what you think, how the jury's going to come back, and if it's going to be a quick verdict. I expect something by no later than Friday afternoon, because that's usually the way juries do it, because they don't want to come back over the weekend. And we will be showing it live as it happens. So please keep a lookout for those live notifications. That is another great reason to hit that little bell notification so that you can get those live updates and miss nothing of importance, because we would not want to waste your time with anything but important stuff. Next on the docket, the Patrick Frazee case is scheduled to begin October 28th down in Teller County. This is just down the road here from Denver. And, you know, it's a good two and a half hour drive, depending on the weather, depending on if there's any accidents. Okay. The Teller County Courthouse is old. It was built, 1902 or something. I don't have the exact date. I could look it up, I'm sure, but I just didn't. But it's built early 1900s. When you go into the building, you can actually feel the wooden floors kind of move and shake, and they're worn out. But you can imagine the court cases that have been heard in there over the years, from, minors being robbed to being assaulted and having all their silver stolen from them, or even, just whatever crimes, the history. You can imagine a bunch of old miners in there with their beard and, sitting on the jury. Because why? They still have the same jury box, okay? And I do love these old courthouses. And that is the reason why the judge is not allowing cameras in for the Patrick Frazee hearing. And that's what they refer to as expanded media coverage. The judge is saying that this courthouse is just so old that it cannot meet the requirements that would be imposed by the judge, which would be that the jurors could not be identified or that they could not appear on camera, okay? I'm calling BS, okay? In today's world, it does not take that much to position cameras so that they can see the courtroom and that they can see the judge, the defendant, the prosecutor, and the witnesses, and that the jury doesn't need to be there. Even if they put a camera up high, mounted it, I assure you, if the judge said, you can do it, don't damage my courthouse, don't interfere with my jurors, don't interfere with my trial, they would figure out a way to stream this live coverage. And in today's world, with cameras being so small, audio being so good, they should be able to make something work. So we hope the court will perhaps reconsider. Perhaps even the news media here will take that up on appeal. If they would allow little old me, I'm sure I could have Kyle wire that thing up with no problem, and we would not show the jurors' faces. And because, well, the judge also has contempt authority. He could throw somebody in jail if that were to happen. Come on, judge. Let's see the trial. Let's have the truth be shown to everyone. It instills faith in the judicial system when people get to see the process that works. They get to see that not everything is about complete speculation. It's about evidence based upon the rules of evidence. It promotes the justice system, and that's a good thing. So Judge Sells, please think about trying to make it work instead of just blocking out the public. But either way, we're going to try to get down there, so we'll see what we can do. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. We appreciate you watching. We have had a great month. We just hit 65,000 subscribers. We know that that would not be possible without you, and we thank you for that. And if you like what we're doing, subscribe, hit that like button, tell a friend. Have a great day. Thanks for watching. We'll see you soon.